of you for this second session of our little seminar, A Relationship That Work Miracles. This session is called The Wheel of Needs. Yesterday, we heard about the spiritual foundation of compassion. We heard that it is necessary to be compassionate if you want to become self-realized and attain the pleasure of Krishna. We mentioned yesterday that the particular tool which a compassionate person must know and apply is empathy. And what that is in action, we will learn today as we look on the wheel of needs. In the past, many authors have written about needs. I first became aware of needs when I was not a devotee and studied Maslow's philosophy and in it the pyramid of needs. He had identified a few needs and structured them in a hierarchical order. In our own movement, devotees have taken the work of Marshall Rosenberg, whom I was fortunate to meet in Germany, and taken his findings into something like they call empathic communication or compassionate communication, and there has is a lot of information about that. I have considered the work of all these great thinkers and have included them into as much as I thought is necessary or is good for our purpose here, that is developing a community of care where real spiritual relationships are, which work are there. I've worked a little with this. I need to say two things in the beginning about needs. First of all, real needs are always legitimate and thus need to be taken care of. And second, I need to say, if these real needs are not taken care of, they develop into great obstacles into our in our spiritual life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur divides needs into two categories: physical and mental needs, those for body and those for the mind. Those rules to keep the body properly nourished so that one can remain healthy are bodily rules. Such things are, listen to this, if you want to be healthy and take care of your physical needs, they are regulated drinking, eating, sleeping, exercise, and for sickness, prescriptions of cure. It's very interesting. In the ancient science of Ayurveda, that is the knowledge how to prolong one's life in this world, it is said that a good health rests on three pillars. That is a good diet, healthy sleep, that is at the proper time, and finally proper lifestyle, which includes these things which are mentioned here. Proper eating, then proper drinking, eating, sleeping, exercise. And when you are sick, of course, you take some rasayanas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if a person does not follow these rules, he cannot pass through life smoothly. Now I remember, last year, when I was in Vrindavan, India, I had a very austere practice. Each day I would use 5 hours of the day to pay my most respectful obeisances in the dust of Giriraj. And then immediately I went afterwards without any rest and chanted a tremendous amount of rounds. And in the course I felt that my body was developing symptoms of severe weakness. But I thought, who is stronger, the mind or the body? And I just ignored it, and after some time became so sick with typhoid that even the monkeys cried for me, tears of compassion. I had a black tongue which stretched to the ground and looked like the tongue of goddess Kali. Black, threatening, and so on. And I'm after some time could not live very smoothly in my life any longer. I need to lie on my back in Radhakund, which, because Radhakund is a spiritual experience, a spiritual place, was a wonderful experience. I had the best dreams all the time. It was very nice, but I couldn't do what I wanted to do. Now, you'd also need to take care of your emotional needs, my dear devotees. If you don't do this, your power of realization, concentration, imagination, contemplation, and judgment will be weak and will not properly function. Yeah. If a person does not follow the mental rules, you know, taking care of his emotional well-being, his power of realization will not properly function. You won't realize things. You will be like in our morning classes. We can see devotees are sometimes very tired and sometimes very sad, and they cannot even remember one point of the Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna. Your concentration will fail you, your imagination will fail you, you can't contemplate, you will only think of your misery, your emotional misery, and your judgment will be weak. And there will be no advancement in the arts and sciences. And moreover, listen to this, one will not be able to take the mind from material thoughts and direct it to thoughts of God. If you don't care of these needs, my dear devotees, your spiritual life will be a pious dream. It won't work. No realization for you. No, and you will live a very disturbed life. Only when you have developed the state of raga, that is deep attachment to Krishna, if you are an ecstatic lover of God like Gaurahari, then you don't need to take care of the physical and mental and emotional needs. But who is on that level? No? As a result, the mind will be dominated by sinful thoughts and atheistic attitude. Finally, man will become no better than a beast. Beast means animal. Therefore, these bodily and mental roots are very necessary for success in human life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls these bodily and mental rules, sometimes he calls them needs. They are used identical because it's important to take care of your body and mind. In spiritual, from the spiritual perspective, the body and mind are called a sadhana sharira, a vehicle for spiritual practice. This is all we got at the moment, the body and the mind. And you need to keep them in a good working order if you want to attain the goal. And if you are a counselor, my dear devotee, you need to take care the people who are placed under your care, or if your preacher, are identifying their needs first of all. Many of our needs come from our subconscious need, and you need a subconscious area, and you need to help identify them. Mothers and fathers know this. Moksha Rupi, the father of the gladiator, knows it. There will be the evening time, and at that time, your son will find fault with everything. Now, if you believe him, you will be in trouble, because you will correct what he doesn't like, maybe the temperature in the room or the light situation, and again, and he will still remain dissatisfied because he doesn't know what his need is. You know it. He needs to go to bed. But he doesn't know it. He will be just disturbed, and only when you know the evening time the child belongs to bed, he will not be happy. You need to, what I want to get is you need to to help a person identify his need. Many of us are, as far as recognizing our needs, still on that level where we don't know exactly what is disturbing to us, what need is not fulfilled, in other words. I would like to give an example for this. Let us say a friend calls another friend and says, I would like to go with you on the swim. And this other friend says, I'm sorry, I have a cold, I don't like swimming. Then the next week, the friend again says, I would like to go with you on a bicycle tour. And again the friend says, I'm sorry, I don't like bicycling, I have a bad knee. Can you maybe guess what is the need of friend A, and why he constantly phones friend B? Is it really swimming or bicycling, or is there another need? The need for good association, says Philip. You are also Philip. He wants association. Now, if friend B would say, I don't like swimming, but and also not bicycling, but why don't we sit under a flower-bearing tree and talk? Friend A would say, yoo-hoo, fine, let's do that, you know. But often friend B doesn't notice the need, nor does friend A notice the need. And they are living in frustration, and their friendship breaks apart. So as someone who wants to do compassionate help, or who wants to help form a good society, you have to be able to identify the needs and then fulfill them. Please note, real needs are always legitimate, but the strategies people do to fulfill them are often not in contact with these real needs, and therefore do not really work in helping them. Is this point clear? I think I have given illustration with the friend. The friend has a need to associate with the other friend, but the strategy, swimming and bicycling, is not always fulfilling the needs and so on. Strategies are, in other words, you can replace, but the need you have to address. Otherwise, you come to harm in your life. So I would like to now present to you the wheel of needs. I must first of all say where this comes from. It has been developed by Jim Davis and myself. Jim Davis is a long-term priest in the, here Chandramouli Maharaj has to maybe come to our help. Is there something like the Apostolian Church in America? What? Yeah, something Episcopalian. Sounds interesting. Episcopal. We have to write that down. Episcopi something church. It's a very good. Just that I'm too foolish to pronounce it properly doesn't mean that it's a good church. And he has come to. He has an interesting background. He has come to Krishna consciousness and started chanting Hare Krishna. 16 rounds for many years, and Anuta Mahaprabhu and myself I first asked him, we need to help our devotees. Can you please see what you have in your Christian church materials for counseling someone? And he said, yes, it's basically very simple. You have to see a person's need, you have to help to identify the need, and you have to help them find strategies which help to fulfill the need, which are good and better than the ones he uses mostly, which doesn't work. That's why he's in trouble. So then he wrote a book, which is available on email as an e-book, and it has been Anutama, our devotee for communication, has used the book and so on. It's a very helpful book, and in that book we have dealt with the problem with needs, and we found after a lot of practice six needs: the need for security, the need for significance, the need for satisfaction, the need for self-expression, the need for spiritual direction, and the need for socialization. Let me now explain to you all of these needs, what they mean, because then it will be a little bit clearer how to fulfill them. If someone comes to you, mostly it's because they want your help in order to feel, to live a more fulfilled life. And these are the areas where you can look and see if they need fulfillment. There's a need for security. Everyone simply needs to know that he or she is safe, that he or she is out of harm's way, both physical and psychological. You need to feel, I'm sheltered here, I'm safe. your body needs, you need to have a place to sleep, something to eat and drink, so that you are safe, a house, and so on and so forth. Out of these needs grow very basic needs, like the need for air, food, rest, movement, shelter, but also the more subtle needs of sanity and inner well-being and so on. Then comes the need for significance. Listen to this. Each one of us needs to know and feel that we are appreciated and have our place and purpose. In today's impersonal and technocratic world, there is a danger that people become instruments of impersonal structures, parts of the machinery of life, and lose their personal significance. This can also happen in a movement which fixes on outer goals, like building buildings, or missionary goals like distributing books. It can happen that devotees feel that they are only instruments to fulfill a certain need of which is outside of them, the need of a mission. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has told me about this in New Vrindavan when we sat together with God brothers. He had a time when he was with a previous ISKCON leader who was severely controversial, and this leader and his followers were excluded out of the ISKCON because ISKCON could not deal with their concepts and their behaviors, which sometimes brought the whole society in danger. So Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, was also for some time outside of ISKCON, he was in the Chaupati temple, and he said, I will now see that I will do everything different than in ISKCON. ISKCON is project oriented. I will try to bring another idea there that is people oriented. I will take care, there were only two or three brahmacharis and many rats. I will invest in these people, and then let's see what will happen. And it was a wonderful social experiment which came out glorious, as we all know. The congregation of Chaupati has now, 10,000 devotees. It's really a lot. It's not a small percentage. It's a lot. It makes a major part of our movement, So it came from this new approach of Hare Krishna, safe travels, and we hope to see you soon, and we wish that all your projects will be blessed by Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. So because when people feel taken care of, that's the point here, then they are ready to do everything and more. That is when you ask the old devotees who stayed with Srila Prabhupada, that was their experience. We were absolutely surrendered to Prabhupada, and we were, because we felt he just cared in all aspects for us. And there are many stories about how Prabhupada gave devotees medication when they had something on the foot, or he fed us from his own plate with chapatis and sabjis and everything. No? So So significant. You need to feel significant. You need. We are not speaking. We're speaking about legitimate needs. We don't speak here about the desire for name, fame, and glory. The same old story. We feel here about some legitimate. Remember, needs are legitimate. If you are hated or everyone thinks you are useless, then you feel there's no place for me in this society. Some legitimate need of significance. Included in this need is the need for general acceptance and appreciation, but also some sense of self-worth and human dignity. Then comes the need for satisfaction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very clear. Again, we don't speak of the Rolling Stones hit Satisfaction. We speak of something else here. You have to know when we use words and what context they are used. We use words a little different than the materialistic society. We are spiritualist here, and we speak of a general need to feel physically, emotionally, and socially satisfied. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks of the three types of well-being, physical, emotional, and social, which are to be taken care in any community. He says, Vanashram has the purpose to take care of physical, emotional, and social well-being. Often people take to the wrong strategies whereby they confuse gratification of the senses with the deeper satisfaction which arises out of a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord and something which we and his devotees. Now, as you continue to listen to the wheel of needs, my dear devotees, I want you to listen with two ears, not just one ear. The one ear should listen with what's in for me, what relates for me, and the other is how can I help other people. No? I should have said this in the beginning. Next need is self-expression. Each individual needs to find his or her unique talents and purpose for which he or she was created and to express that in life. Someone who has not yet found and expressed his or her, here comes a word you all know, dharma, is ill at ease in whatever situation he or she lives. It is the duty of a spiritual master to find the psychophysical nature, you know, how is a person made, and engage the person accordingly to that. Because we all have a need of self-expression. I see that in my little team. I like to keep servants and assistants and team members if possible, for the whole life. That is my desire, or as long as possible. And I have noted, it only works if you can give the person his or her own area where they can put their unique talents, their callings to work. Because the need of self-expression or dharma is there in everyone. It's a real need. If you have not found your dharma, you're ill at ease. I like to tell the story of my Uncle Carlo. Uncle Carlo, for those who have heard it, you will be bored, but it's nice to hear it in this connection, was a famous lawyer in, I believe, the town of Siegen. And he once made news, he came in the newspaper, because he was a little eccentric, you know, in my family we suffer from this problem. I have this problem also sometimes. So he went to a shoe shop to buy a new pair of shoes. So he got the right shoes, which he liked. And then he said to the person who, to the salesperson, "Give me that shoe, but two sizes smaller." "Oh," said the salesman, "you want to buy them for a friend, maybe, who has smaller feet?" "No, no," said Carlo, "it's for me." And he put on the shoes and he walked around. And he was so pained, and he said, "They kill me, just right, just what I need." So whenever he would go to work, he would dress in these shoes, which were two sizes too small. And he would work. He was brilliant as a lawyer. He got these contracts where he would earn 20 million euros with one customer. You know, he was really brilliant. And but he was walking around like, "Oh, wow," in the lawyer office. No one dared to ask him because he was Carlo von Gerstendorf, an aristocratic Carlo, you know. So once my father decided to invite him and see what's the problem with him. So they invited him to where we lived, and Carlo arrived in his normal shoes. And when he came inside the home, he put these shoes, which were two numbers too small. And he walked with pain. I still remember. My father said, "Carlo, please know I am here to talk to, and you can talk to me." Carlo is intelligent. He said, "Well, yeah, I came to talk to you." "No, no, Carlo, you know, you can really talk to me." "Oh, you mean because of my shoes?" said Carlo. "Yes, we have heard about your shoes. Why do you wear shoes which kill you?" And Carlo said, "You're the first one to ask me, I will tell you. I'm so bored with my life. It's so absolutely intolerable that I try to divert my attention with these shoes which are two numbers too small. And then I can somehow exist." My dear devotees, you laugh, but many of you go in shoes which are two numbers too small for you. You are not in your dharma. Oh, and this means you, there is suffering, undue suffering. Walk your way, walk your path in Krishna consciousness. This is very important to express our dharma properly. People need encouragement sometimes to be created and to act upon their talents, their nature. Especially in this area, guidance is often required. I remember how one devotee did this for me. I was a mixture of a very shy and a very bold person in my life always, and my old leaders thought, "Well, he's very shy, so let him become a translator. He likes books, he likes Prabhupada, and he likes service, so let him translate." And I was translating, a young man boiling with creativity, you know, in a room, you know, getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, chanting all my rounds before Mangal Arati, and then starting the service at 5 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the evening. Wow, these were the days of old. But I was not, it was all right when I thought I'm doing this for Srila Prabhupada. But I soon noticed, because I had joined very young, I was really not so good in the German language. I had to learn German later, proper German. You know, it's a complex language. And I was just, I spoke like a 15-year-old person, German. And then one leader, I said, I don't know, I'm so sad. I don't know, I like to translate for Prabhupada. I know we need these books in German, but I just, something is missing in my life. And the person was very intelligent. He said, you are a natural communicator. You should go into the world and bring people, bring the knowledge of the books into the world. You should make programs and make what we called at that time network preaching, which later became Namhatta. Was given that name, Namhatta. So someone understood. I could not know what's wrong. I was not just meant to sit in a room from morning till evening. And those who know me, they know that if you lock me in a room, I explode and the whole room falls. The walls, one wall will fall to the left side, the other to the right side. One has to be engaged according to its nature, and self-expression is important. Now, what I think is almost the most important need for us spiritual people is spiritual direction. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, every person needs to know that I am going with my spiritual life in some direction. There is progress. As I go through my years, as I become old, I feel that I'm coming closer to my spiritual goals of being Krishna conscious and remembering Krishna. If that is not there, you will suffer from a sense of existential bitterness, which I can see in many older members of our society. A bitterness, a cynicism, a sense of deep inner frustration when you don't feel that your spiritual goal is reached. And for that, you need spiritual direction. I personally feel that in our community of care, we must take care of the other goals, but there is the other needs, but there's only so much we can do, because you can only help a person to see this is a need, a security or significance in my life, and self-expression and so on. But basically, they have to work on this themselves. But spiritual direction, that's what you are meant to give as a counselor. Yeah? Okay, let's see, you are here now, and would you like to introduce this aspect in your life, like daily prayer, or doing reading the Bhagavatam, that your heart can become more purified and you feel you develop a spiritual perspective which allows you to see Krishna's workings in your daily life. Spiritual direction is what we as devotees are meant to do. Prabhupada said we should be brahmanas and we should guide all the sections of society. And the last, I'm sorry, I will go back to it. Without some spiritual direction and goals, life becomes reduced to a shallow struggle for existence. There's no juice in this. You just struggle to maintain the body and the mind, But what is life without love? What is life without a sense of deep spiritual fulfillment? Nothing. We are not machines programmed for survival, bodily and physical mental machines. And if a community of care or mentorship is reduced to just trying to work on these other areas, these material needs, we are not going anywhere. And we will attract the wrong type of people who are not interested in spiritual growth. The Talmud says, every blade of grass has an angel bent over it who whispers to the grass, grow, grow, grow. So I like to translate that into Krishna consciousness terms. In every one of us, there is Paramatma who whispers to us, grow, awake in your spiritual life. Prabhudite. Prabhudite, wake up. If you don't grow, you become stunted in your development like a tree who has no nourishment, who dries up and falls over. The last need is the need for socialization. The way we people are created is that we need to be in relationship with the world and with each other. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is the Sanskrit word. I would really love to find the text, and maybe our pandits can help me here, that the living entity is Bhartu. Bhartu is a Sanskrit word. I don't know the verse at the moment, but I clearly see that it was there. It means the living entity is someone who is to be maintained. In other words, we are not self-sufficient. We are not, we need air, you know, we need something from outside, air, food, and more than anything, we need society around us, society of friends, society of equal-minded people, who appreciate us. And it is within this earth, the earth of some type of society, that we grow our roots and we work. So therefore, this has been placed at the end. You might ask yourself why we have chosen this expression, the wheel of needs, which is a circular approach to the needs of the human being. It's not a linear approach, it's not a hierarchy. Hierarchical. A hierarchical approach. You understand what I mean? Hierarchical. Something like this. It is. What do we know of the English language? We are trying our best. Yes. Our devotees have said from an English-speaking world. Yes. Know everything. Yeah. Why not this? Others have put. Why circular? We were thinking like this. In a wheel turns. It moves. Our needs are in a similar moving situation. Sometimes a need is on the top. It's very, very pronounced. It's very clear. I think, for instance, my servant, Sharanga Thakur, has the need for sleep now. He looks very... you look actually concentrated. I misidentified your need. But that need for, I'm giving an example to lighten up the atmosphere. But sometimes another need comes to the surface. And it's intelligent if you see what need is now there, which is prominent. You can see that when you learn to be a little bit honest with yourself and not a pretender who wants to be somehow something which he is not, then you can see the need that, my God, now I need a little personal time for myself to have a reading so that my need for spiritual direction is fulfilled. or now I need a little bit, I need to be with people and I need to help people, or now I need, I have a toothache, I need to have some security in my teeth, you know, I need to, some health here. Or now in my form of life, I can see that my service has changed. I need to find now a service where I can find my Dharma and express my Dharma. And a spiritual counselor should always help find the need and help people the need. They will be so happy to you. They will be so grateful. It was just like me when I, after I think 7 years of intense translation service and just being in that room, you know, I know every insect in the room. There were a few generations who died, you know, and finally, one this merciful devotee came and said, I can see you are a withdrawn person, you are shy, but on another side, you need 30,000 people you know, before you to express what is inside of you and to motivate them. So you have, you are a preacher. And I, what, me, a preacher? A communicator? Let me try. And I went out, and it worked. It worked immediately, and I felt some deep sense. Yes, here I can contribute to Srila Prabhupada's movement. Here I can use my creativity and so on. And similarly, there are many stories in our movement where you could help a person for self-expression. Now, if for you who want to enter community work, this is a little bit too complex, I request you to park the wheel of needs. Put it on a parking place. Look at it later and just here visit with me the forest of ancient India. There you find a previous king, Yajnavalkya, who has renounced his kingdom, living like an ascetic. He is having discussions with his wife, Maitri, who is also an ascetic. And Maitri asks him many questions, which are recorded later in a work called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The Upanishad, which was spoken in the Brihadaranyaka, in the great forest. No? It's an Upanishad which is taught in the question and answer style. And there one morning, we can just see the sun rising. There's a beautiful lake and a hut. Maitri approaches Yajnavalkya with respect and says, "Today, my Lord and Master, please teach me about the two needs of every human being, which, when they are fulfilled, are not leaving any other need to be fulfilled." In other words, teach me the two needs which fulfill every other need. And Yajnavalkya goes in deep meditation to contemplate this question, comes out with a beautiful answer. Would you like to know his answer? What are the two needs which need to be fulfilled? It's the need to be loved, that is to experience love, and the need to express love. When these two needs are fulfilled, then you are very satisfied in your life. There is a shloka in Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes it in Sharadashini, the comments to the 10th canto. He says, if you have a relative, you automatically have food, medicine and shelter. You don't need anything else. When there's someone whom you love, in other words, or who loves you, then you have food. He gives you food. Shelter, come with me. So he moves out of his bed and sleeps on the floor, and you can sleep in his bed. And what else? Shelter and medicine if you need. Haven't we not noticed this? If we have a true friend in our life, we don't need to worry. I feel that I have seen devotees who have true friends, whom they love and who love them. They are happy people. When Jiva Goswami writes about this, when Krishna and Balaram came to the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni, Sandipani Muni said, by the way these two look, I can know that their father and mother loved them very well. Because if you are loved, you are content. You understand English? So much English? What? Yeah? 70% or maybe 90%? Oh my God. These two needs, to love and be loved, can sometimes be misunderstood to be in a materialistic way. When I talk about amongst them here in this context of devotees, a spiritual society, I mean it in spiritual contexts. No? And, in the spiritual love, we want to bring the best out of someone. In the material love, we want to exploit them for gratification. Spiritual love is service-oriented. Material love is exploitative. Huh? So, you will see, if we develop a community of care where we can, where people feel they are cared for and loved for, people feel, my God, here my need is fulfilled, and they will stay with us. And then they will offer their services also. They will say, I like to do this. At that time, you have to accept people's services. You know, I want to tell you some problem which we sometimes have as individuals and as a society. We can't accept love. Have you ever noticed that someone comes and wants to sincerely praise you and you go, no, 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 no. And you close their mouth or bring a tape. And how does a person feel? Miserable. He wanted to show his love. You go, stop. When people offer their services, you have to accept that. Like I what comes to mind is Prabhupada's, this very nice Srila Prabhupada story, how he was in the first temple, 26th Second Avenue, and there was this bum coming, and he came in, ran through, he had a drunken smell around him, and he ran towards Prabhupada. Prabhupada was where the bathroom was, you know, and he, everyone thought, my God, he attacks Prabhupada. But no, he ran into the bathroom, looked around and came out, ran out. Then the next day he came and he had his arms full of first-class toilet paper. He wanted to give this service. He went into the bathroom and stacked the toilet paper there. Now, if Prabhupada said, we use water, he would not have an opportunity to do service. I don't know if we used water. I think we used water from the beginning. Prabhupada introduced water from the beginning, isn't it? 26th Avenue, Chandramouli Maharaj is sure. Yeah. I think the idea is here, you have to accept people's service. You have to encourage them also. Prabhupada said his spiritual life has begun. He does service. Every person knows, and every preacher knows, when you have expressed the philosophy, there comes a very important time, and that is when the person says, I want to do this. At that moment, you should celebrate it, because now it's an expression. I like your community. I'm convinced of your philosophy. I want to do now something for you. And now you have to be really careful. You have to enter into what is empathy. You know, you have to understand his situation. And you have to be very careful to allow that manifestation of service to prosper and blossom. That is what you have waited for. So this is something about the need to love and the need to the need to express love and the need to receive love. When that is taken care, everything gets very, very easy. But I didn't want to simplify this class by just talking about the two things. Therefore, I mentioned them at the end. But I sincerely request you, keep these two needs in mind when you do your compassionate counsel, and you will succeed. You will also find out, because the affection which you extend to others, you know, the compassion will teach you what you need to know. I always like to give the example of motherhood. A mother loves her child so much that she mystically knows what the child needs due to the love she has for the child, and that teaches her everything. That love helps her to produce the most important substance in the growth of the child, that is affectionate care, and then that helps her also to produce nourishment for the child, for the milk with which she nourishes the child. That love will bring out everything. There's also how the cows, you know, the cow will give milk when she has a calf, because the loving thing, love does miracles. Once in Argentina, there was a little boy committed to a hospital. This little boy had been sexually abused by his drunken father and then beaten into his limbs were broken. It was really hellish what has happened. So when he was admitted to the hospital, he was almost dead. And he was put into a single room. Everyone had so much compassion in the hospital because it was a case of the worst type of child abuse you can imagine. And the child was wasting away. He was mostly unconscious. Sometimes he opened his dark, beautiful eyes, cried, and again went into unconsciousness. So there was one nurse amongst the hospital staff who went every morning to the child. The child was unconscious and whispered in his ear, I love you. And stayed some time with the child, an hour or so. And she really had to... The hospital staff said, come on, there are so many urgent cases and this child has to die. We have to be realistic here. That invested time in the child is you will be fired if this is your understanding of nursing. You have to take care of those who can survive. This hospital work is serious work, no place for sentimentality. This is how they instructed. So the nurse said, okay, this is my unpaid time, which I use, you know. In other words, you pay me for my 8 hours where I do everything else, and this 1 hour I'm with the boy. Every day she did this for half a year. I love you. Take the hand of the child. And the child was growing. The wounds healed magically. The trauma healed magically. Later that nurse adopted the child. I think I remember hearing this, and the child is well and became a well-known author. So, my dear devotees, this receiving, the child received love and grew because of that and became normal. And that is a normal, that is what we should do. But please do it in a spiritual way. Please remember that the people have a need for spiritual direction. Please don't take care of the mental and physical needs, because the human being is not a physical and mental machine. It's a spiritual soul on its journey back home, back to Godhead, on an evolutionary journey. And to not help the person on this journey is sometimes described as jiva hingsa, violence towards a living entity. I want to now deal with an objection. Ah, Sachinandan Swami, why do you talk so material things, you know, in your seminar? We expected you to be a little bit more spiritual. Why do you talk about the wheels of needs, which are basically physical and emotional needs? There's spiritual direction in there, but mostly you gave us this. Are you not an older member of the society? Have you not understood the philosophy? Don't you read in Prabhupada's books? And so on and so forth. This is the objection I would like to raise, because it is an elephant in the room. An elephant in the room means this is always what we hear in lectures, that only spiritual things are important. We are a spiritual movement, and so on and so forth. It is there. It is in the intellectual fabric of ISKCON, this objection. And I would like to object. I would like to say about this objection one thing. It's right when we see the human being as a body and the mind only, but our foundation in Krishna consciousness is that we are eternal souls who have a body and a mind which are excellent means for self-realization. And to take care of these means help us for worshipping Krishna. And I would like to give an example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. To take a shower in the morning is a purely material activity. You clean the body, you put soap everywhere, you wash off the dirt. It has nothing to do with spiritual activities. But cleaning the body allows you to have serenity of mind and to engage in deity worship. You understand? So by using, this is the philosophy of Yukta Vairagya, by using the material body and the mind in such a way that they can help us for self-realization and for God-realization, we use them in the proper way. We are not using this wheel of needs, this which is a tool only to recognize a person in a material way. We want to help a person so that they can engage in self-realization and God-realization. Oops! Finished! Hare Krishna. This was the class called the Wheel of Needs. Now I will see Sharanga Thakur's wristwatch. We have a little time, only very little, for any questions. Two Philippas have asked a question. So who of you goes first? Yes, Philip. The white Philip goes first, yes.
You were saying about how eating proper food, drinking properly, taking rest and everything is very important. Can I ask you just how to... because I was living in two different communities and they were in extremes. One was too healthy, another one was too austere. So because this community is setting up standards, what are the standards about this healthy way of life, so how to see what is good and what is not? Because sometimes you go extremes and we don't know that. And we can, think all the time about healthy food and that is like an obstacle to our spiritual development.
I can answer in a general way that needs some practical intelligence to decide when what is the right measure and what is an exaggeration. And I think it really needs also a little experience. I would like to give you an example exercise. Many of us need exercises, especially those who work a lot on tables. They get back problems. Do you notice the increasing number of shares in ISKCON? That means they have all destroyed backs. Because sitting like this, like you sit, anatomically is only possible in a healthy way if you have developed those muscles which keep your spine, which carry your spine. It's the most unhealthy form of sitting if you don't know how to sit properly. You know from yoga, yeah. And we have many. So there are, when devotees get old, they need an answer to this. How can they sit? How can they prepare their body with exercise? Especially when you get old. Oh, my God, it's really difficult. So you have to know the right amount of exercise. For instance, you can overdo it greatly. You can have 4 hours of exercise and become like these. You have been in contact with the yoga community who are really exaggerating. One European yogi, Mr. Yesodian, a very famous name in the yoga world, said to me once, people misunderstand yoga. They just become healthy animals. That's all what they are interested in. I'm so frustrated being a yoga teacher, he said. So you need to know on an individual level what you need. I found out that I can function if I have like 12 minutes of exercise, and then from time to time I'm also doing this here on the retreat, 12 minutes, not 12 hours exercise, because then I can function. Previously, I didn't need it when I was young, energetic, and young man. Then dancing was enough for exercise. But so you have to see. It takes us a little awareness, and I would say you need to know really what is your goal. Do you want Krishna conscious practice, or do you just want a healthy life? You know, you have to see. And when you want Krishna consciousness, you have to invest time in that. It takes a little, I think, experience. Or I know, yeah, that's the best I can answer. When you are a spiritual counselor, I would recommend you, Philip, to talk about the beauty of spiritual life and the joy one can experience in spiritual practice if they're done properly. And then the devotees will know, okay, that's more important. This boring exercise is so boring. I could die from boredom and you know, from this. But so let me do it minimum. You know, the same holds true with food. You know, you need to see it's a. Once, Philip, there was a famous guru. He lived, and he lived in the Himalayas where there was fog. And his disciple said, Guru Maharaji, you sometimes say, I should do this, and then you contradict yourself and say, I should do that. Why? And he said, when you go a little bit too much to the left side, I say right. And when you go a little bit too much to the right side, I say left. You are like a person who walks through a path, on a path which is covered with fog for you. And sometimes you go too much left, then you might fall down into the abyss which waits on the left. Sometimes you go too much right, and then you might fall. So I have to tell you this. So I think ultimately, Philip, these practical things, we don't need a guru to tell. We can have our common sense after some time and know when do we go too much to the left. It's like driving a car. You know, when you go too much to the left, you have to go right. When you go too much to the right, you have to go a little left. Therefore, Krishna says, in this famous shloka, he is a yogi who does not eat too much, nor eat too little, nor sleeps too much, nor sleeps too little. You have to, it's a balance you have to find in your life. Our second Philip, I want to answer your question in person, but outside the time, because we have now the Aratik ceremony. I'm sorry that this took a little longer and I couldn't give enough questions and answer time. If you have further questions, I will answer Philip's question, because I have already not answered another question of Philip, and he might become frustrated and never give me one of his beautiful photos again if I don't answer now his question. So please keep a note on your question, and I see you tomorrow when we listen to this. Discuss the 5 powerful tools for spiritual counseling. We actually will sit down and we will counsel a person, and then tomorrow. And then comes the very best thing about spiritual community. Spiritual community is like a tree, and we will talk about the tree of life. Coming attractions, bing bing, advertisement, bing bing. So please all come. Hare Krishna.